Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons, presented by Endless Events, the show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share hashtag event icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is hashtag event icons.
I'm bringing in our lovely guest today to the stream. Gianna, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I know how crazy busy you are. I thought for a second it's impossible to catch you. So thank you for making time to be with us today.
Thrilled to be here. Love your podcast. So thanks for having me.
Awesome. So I am very excited to actually chat with you. Comparing to you, I'm a newbie to the industry. So I am a newbie to the host too, but I love connecting to event profs like you because honestly, it's super educational for myself as well. So I always like to start the podcast episode with kind of like your background. Tell us what got you into events industry. What kept you in it, considering that it's so hectic and stressful? And I mean, you don't look like you have any wrinkles, and I'm kind of like, I need the skincare routine, but we can chat about that after the episode. So tell us a little bit about your background, like what got you into it and what kept you in the industry this long?
Sure. Well, you know, there's so many amazing educational resources for aspiring event planners these days. But back in the olden days when I was going to college, you know, I wasn't even aware that you could plan events for a career. So I was actually pre-med. I went to UC San Diego, which is a very science-focused school, and majored in psychology, minored in biology. Clearly, I didn't follow that path, and I'll, you know, spare you that long story for another chat over a glass of wine. But after I graduated, you know, I had to really figure out what it was that I was passionate enough about to build a career in. And I'm so grateful that my dad gave me the book. It's called How to Get a Job with Any Major. Great book. I still recommend it to everybody that's looking to change their career or get into a, you know, a new career. But it basically has you go through a bunch of exercises and ultimately land on a career that you can build over a lifetime. And that was really important to me, is that I didn't just take a job, that I had a long-term plan. And totally. So even when I was a young 20 something and just embarking on this, I had a 10-year plan. And I said, I want to end up having my own company. I can see, you know, the stepping stools to get there. And slowly but surely, I just built that career one step at a time.
I love that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I love so much about event planning, is it is a major industry, and people can come to event planning as a career from so many different walks of life, from so many different backgrounds, you know, and it's such a great way to blend analytical, creative, and people skills, and really making an impact on people in such a tangible way. And it's also a career that you can continually evolve. I don't go a month without learning something new. And, you know, as old as I am still learning every week something new, and it keeps it really exciting. It keeps it challenging. And for me, it keeps it super fun. So that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why I launched my e-learning course, Million Dollar Event Career, to share with people how they can build a million-dollar career that's really fun and can last a lifetime.
Absolutely. I love your background, honestly. And you just gave us not only a lesson for event space, but just general life lesson. And even if we have like newbies in the events industry who are listening to this, it's really important to find a passion. I mean, whatever you do, I'm passionate about working out and just like all sorts of things in life, but it seems like you always have to find a why. It really does. It's if you don't Absolutely. Have a strong why, then forget about that perseverance through hardships when you're going after a goal. So, and it really shows for you. I mean, with the book and now the course, that you're really passionate about it, and you're just going for whatever you want. And I love that. So considering that you've been in the industry for this long and you've seen many changes, I mean, specifically in the past 2 years, can you tell us your experience within these past 2 years? How has it been on your end?
Definitely. I think the biggest shift has been, first of all, at a macro level, I think events are becoming very content driven. And content sometimes used to have a backseat when it came to event planning. You know, it would be scrambling at the last minute to pull together the appropriate content. Now, content is front and center. It doesn't have, you know, the fancy food and beverage and decor to mask it. And so it has to be good and it has to hold people's attention. And there's a lot of competition for people's attention. So I think, you know, people are really starting to become more thoughtful about their content. There's a lot of burgeoning roles for aspiring content leads out there. You know, people can't hire content leaders fast enough right now. And kind of in a similar veil from a career perspective, I think event planners are finding that they really need to evolve to be event marketers. So it's one thing to plan an event and do that well. But in this day and age, to be successful, you also have to be able to market it, because you can have the most amazing event in the world, but if you're not marketing it and reaching the people you're trying to reach, then you know, you're not going to have the ROI that you want, and you're going to be wasting all your resources. And then I think the other really big shift is the shift from the synchronous moment in time event experience to a much bigger focus on the extended experience, whether that's a hybrid experience, a virtual experience, or this always on community type of model. And we're seeing that people want to stay connected, not just during an event, but between events. And, you know, so I think smart event marketers are figuring out how to meet people where they are, how they want to, and delivering the right content to them at the right time. So it's a little bit more challenging, but I think it's super exciting. And there's a lot of great work that industry professionals are doing right now in that space.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've been talking so much about the fatigue too, that kind of ties in with the content, because fatigue does come if the content is not engaging enough. And if it's really not executed to the level where you're utilizing every second that you have attention from the attendee, you know? I agree with you. Content, it really is king. One of the things that you just kind of mentioned a little bit is ROI. Do you mind telling us, I mean, how do you ensure ROI on events that may have pivoted or changed format? Like, what are some of the best ways to indicate and present different aspects of ROI at this point of time?
First of all, just because an event has pivoted doesn't mean that you have to throw out all your goals. There are definitely some goals that can remain consistent, but obviously some that need to be adjusted. So for virtual events, there are things that we can measure also that we can't always measure as easily with in-person events, which is great. I mean, virtual is a treasure trove for data, you know, everything from clicks to view length to downloads. You don't have that kind of information always at in-person events. But, you know, one of the biggest things that you should adjust, obviously, is registration and conversion rates. When you're thinking in-person versus virtual, there's a lot of differences there. And my go-to is usually there's 35% drop-off for registrations for virtual. So some of the other core metrics I typically use for measuring event success are things like attendee satisfaction. I think that's a great one, whether you're using an NPS or a CSAT. And that's consistent and works for both virtual and hybrid events. Things like deals closed related to sales events and attribution related ROI metrics can work both for in-person or virtual events as well. Same thing with opportunities created and pipeline goals. When you're looking at attendee retention, that's one that gets challenging. When you think about attendee retention, you don't always see that as a KPI metric for in-person events. It's harder to measure that, you know, unless you have someone, you know, watching people sneaking in and out of the keynote session. But it's a lot easier to measure when you have video on demand or a virtual event. And the retention drop-off rate is really important to understand whether your content is resonating, if it's the right length, et cetera, et cetera. And then another one that I think is really great for virtual that you don't always see as much with live events is audience engagement. Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, that engagement question is that big keyword. And so, you know, you can definitely use event apps for live events to some extent, although adoption is usually no higher than 30%. But virtual, it's so much easier. I mean, like I said, every action is trackable. And so it's just great for event planners because you can capture so much information about which of your activities are resonating and which maybe you can remove for future events.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, there's things like sponsor revenue. I think that's can be adjusted slightly, but you can use for either. And same thing with cost per MQL, mm-hmm. which typically is going to go down for virtual, which is one of the virtues of virtual. So those are just a few. I could go on for hours about ROI.
No, but I love it. I think you really hit it right on that nail on the head because you mentioned actually analytics that I think at this point of time can really, really help in structuring a new experience. So let's say there's an event planner, you know, has an event this year. They do it for the first time, but they're really focused on those analytics, and they take time to analyze that and see how they can better their content next time around. I think they can really turn their event around 180. So I think analytics are huge. But when it comes to creativity, we as a production company and now event management company are constantly seeing more and more seeing these creative services being asked, you know, what do you do? How do we take the engagement based on creativity on another level? So I wanted to ask you, this is kind of like a vague question, but describe your event dream. Like if you, there was no boundaries with the budget, because we know budget really restricts a lot. How does one identify their needs and create their own event dream team?
Oh, event dream teams. One of my favorite topics. Well, let me start at kind of a macro level and then I'll drill down into some more specifics. You know, I think there's two overarching types of people on your event team when you're hiring: generalists and specialists. And, you know, just to give an overview of what each of those are, a generalist is really someone that is good at a lot of different things. Maybe they don't have deep expertise in any one thing, but they're very adaptable. They can move from project to project, play different roles, and you know, so they can fit different positions that you need throughout the year. Specialists, like to give you an example, could be an event technologist or a contract negotiations or procurement manager, for instance, or a content strategist, like I mentioned. Those people go deep in one area. And I think that depending on your needs for an event, you may need a good mix of both. You may not. You may just be able to get by with generalists. But in this day and age, I think teams benefit from having some of those. And sometimes you only need specialists for one event. And so you can bring them on as a freelancer or use an agency. And agencies often have a lot of specialists on them. And then I also think that typically any successful event team is built up of three types of event planners: creatives, strategists, and producers. And, you know, the creatives really help you think outside the box, both from tactical and, you know, physical perspective to ideation that's more creative and outside the box. Strategists are always going to be the ones that are thinking KPIs, goals, how do our events meet those? And like, how is this event hitting the mark for the business? And then producers are the ones that make things happen. And this can be everything, you know, from operations to marketing to content to budgeting. But producers are typically, you know, they actually bring the event to life. And for my dream team, I obviously would want a mix of all three of those. And I typically have generalists and specialists. But then when it comes to personality, that's important too. You know, I always, in my job descriptions I write, as a prerequisite, have low ego required.
Totally.
And I say that because, you know, events are a team sport. And everybody needs to pull together for that shared goal. There's a lot of work to be done. People need to set their ego, set any drama aside. And it's just so much easier to work with people that all care about the same goal.
Yeah.
And kind of along those lines, you know, people that are good communicators, writing, if there's any one skill that you need to perfect, communication and writing is so key in any industry, really. It'll help you for life. And humor. I love working with people that have a sense of humor because events, let's face it, they are stressful. There's just no getting around it. But if you have people that can bring humor and a little bit of levity to work, it really, you know, can mitigate those stressful times. So those are just some of my my keys for building a really amazing event dream team.
Absolutely. I mean, after all, when you're in all that planning process, you do create memories with the team too. So, I mean, having humor and having certain situations that you didn't expect, it's all a memory. You just go back and you go back to those times and you remember when this happened. So I think it's such a valuable, I mean, even from the standpoint of any industry, when you have a team that works well and is culturally aligned, any project that you put in front of them can be accomplished like 20 times better than if you had, for example, people that are perfect at their roles, but they're just not connecting in between amongst each other, you know? So I think it's very important to focus on the team building and the culture aspect of it to really create that event, bring to the next level. So, Jana, since we are facing really challenging times when it comes to obviously engagement, creativity needs to step it up a notch. So I was wondering if you know, what is the most creative way you have seen a speaker or a facilitator integrate audience engagement? And how can you plan an event to encourage participation?
Great question. I will start by saying that I took a class way back when I was at Google. And it was a storytelling class. And I do see event planners as storytellers. And any successful event has an arc to it that should take the audience on a journey. And this can be for virtual or for live events. Similarly, speakers need to be storytellers. And in this course that I took, one of the key learnings I took away was that speakers that open with a story resonate and capture attention so much more than speakers that open with a PowerPoint slide and data, which is kind of surprising, but think about it. Have you ever watched a TED Talk? Every single TED Talk speaker opens with a story, and it makes your brain tune in because you're trying to figure out what that story is getting at, how that ties into the theme that the speaker is going to be sharing. And so I definitely recommend being thoughtful about how you're presenting information. If you can make an emotional connection, whether it's through a story or, you know, a photo or, you know, some way to make an emotional impact and grab people's attention, that's going to make you a lot more successful if you're virtual, hybrid, or at a live event. And also, you know, sometimes speakers are trying to jam everything in. And we have to be cognizant that in virtual, attention spans are shorter. I hate to say that because everyone says it, but it's true. We need to think focus, you know, just like good products have focus with their features, we need to focus our event content. And so this might seem completely crazy, But a formula that I found works really effectively is actually 20% pre-prepared content and 80% open-ended audience engagement. And that can be chat with the audience. It can be ask me anything, you know, Q&A, polling, gamification. It makes it more of a two-way conversation. And the audience buys into the content more because their voice is heard. And it makes the content more relevant to them. So those are a couple of tips. I think the one other thing that I would say, a couple other things I would say is, if you can, again, get buy-in from the audience, and if you're pre-recording, you can use something like Slido and capture questions in advance. The other thing to do, if you really want people to, you know, if you're looking at retention metrics, is maybe you've got an amazing keynote speaker, but you don't announce when that keynote speaker is coming on. And so that makes people stay tuned in because they don't know exactly where in the programming that speaker is going to speak. It's a little sneaky, but it works pretty well. So those are a couple of tips that, yeah, that I found really effective.
Absolutely. Those are some great tips. I agree with you. I mean, you have to be a little bit, it's a game on both ends. You have to keep them on their toes, but at the same time, once they do keep up with you, you have to give them that space to really express themselves too. So that 20-80 that you mentioned is actually really perfect. And I think it applies in life too. Like if you're a listener, if you are allowing another person to speak, it really means a lot. You know, they will engage back with you 80% more when you allow them to talk to you. So instead of like taking over the conversation. So it goes the same way in the events industry. Thank you for those tips. Very helpful. We will make sure that we drop them in our episode notes so the people that can listen to the episode, they can actually read about it. So I also had another question in mind when it has to do with 2022 events. Considering that we've been through hell and back for the past 2 years, but now there's a new, I'm not going to call it a challenge, but something that we really, really need to think about. And it's the diversity, equity, and inclusion in events. So how do you create an event centered around DEI and sustainability? And how important are those aspects to planning really a successful event?
Oh, two topics that are very near and dear to my heart. So with DEI, the most important thing is that it's not an afterthought. If it's an afterthought, people are going to sniff that out a mile away. So being thoughtful about it. And the same goes for sustainability. Start thinking about these things from the second that you start planning your event, not just tacked on at the end, because people are going to see that as tokenism. They're going to see right through it. So be authentic, you know, do these things for the right reason. If you're really looking to build brand love and, you know, do them for the right reasons. With sustainable event planning, this was one of the tasks that I actually led years ago at Google, when it was just becoming a trend that sustainable events were important. And, you know, as event planners, when we plan live events, virtual is a different story. And that's, again, one of the virtues of virtual. But with live events, they are resource intensive. And they're often disruptive to the communities that they take place in if they're large events. And so my goal as an event planner is always to leave the community that I'm planning an event in better than when I got there. And there's lots of ways to do that. At a macro level, when you're starting out with sustainable event planning, you really want to think about how you're producing your event. So are you sourcing locally? Are you using local suppliers and supporting the local ecosystem? I'll never forget, I was doing an event in India, and I knew that everybody was going to want to take souvenirs back from India. And so rather than let them disperse and purchase their own, I brought a bunch of local and underrepresented vendors in as part of the event and let people shop as part of their event swag experience. you know, it's also how you're making things. Are you fabricating things from scratch or can you use reclaimed? If you are creating or buying new event properties, can you store them afterwards and use them for a subsequent event? Can your team members use them? Or one of my favorite things to do is, can they go on and live iconically in your company's real estate? I don't know if any of you have seen the movie, The Intern. So all the furniture in that movie at Google, that was actually my team's event planning properties that they reused.
That is awesome. Yeah, that is awesome. Funny? That is so funny. That's such a nice anecdote. Awesome. Well, yeah. I think those are definitely some valuable takeaways. And I can really see that you had obviously hands-on experiences with it too, where you really put your mind and creativity to really create a whole new experience and really be mindful of everybody.
And Carmen, I have a laundry list of sustainable vet practices. If anybody's interested in receiving, a download, a white paper, I'm happy to share.
Sure. Is there a specific, we dropped in a chat your website to where they can scoop up the book and really look into the course as well. Is there a certain resource?
Drop me a note if you want the resource and I'll send it your way.
Awesome. Perfect. Simple as that. So we will also make sure that we share in the description the way they can reach out to you so you can connect with the audience that's interested in scooping up the resources and checking out your course, which I personally looked at and took, and I would vouch for it. I think it's so useful. And I think all these things that we talked about is just a little smidge to what you can get from the course. So thank you for hooking me up, Deanna.
Of course.
Awesome. So one more question that came to my mind. If you can give an advice to an event planner who is currently in the beginning stages of event planning process for 2022, is there this one suggestion or one advice that you would give to them at the beginning that will make their lives easier by the end of the process?
Oh, it's so hard to find just one.
Okay, keep going. We want the laundry list.
Well, thank you, first of all, for, checking out my course. There's a lot more in-depth information about all these topics in it. So I'm just skimming the surface here. But, it's 2022. We just went through a really challenging year. 2021 was super challenging because people wanted to go back to in-person events, but they weren't quite ready. There were Omicron and Delta surges. There is virtual fatigue. People just don't quite know what to do. So I think a couple things that make events really successful in 2022 are really putting yourself in the attendee shoes. And so a couple of my little secret sauce recipes, I would say, for events are eliminate pain points. This is a no-brainer. It's low-hanging fruit. Think about how often you remember something that's really amazing and then how often you remember something that's just terrible. Kind of the same. So one easy way to make sure that you're memorable in the right way is to eliminate pain points. If you can think through what could be a possible pain point for your attendee and either acknowledge it and make it better, this is going to take you, really far when it comes to building brand love and making the experience better for people. This is so easy. Like, to give you an example of this, it's just being mindful of like people waiting in long lines, for having to line up to get a COVID test. Okay, if they're waiting in a long line, what can you do to make that delightful? Can you bring coffee to them in a fun little cart with a band playing? Like, these can be really inexpensive lo-fi things that just make people realize that you understand that they're going through something that's not super fun and you're making it better for them. My favorite is surprise and delight. I think there is nothing that builds brand love more than surprising and delighting your attendees. And again, this can be, it can be a no-cost thing. I mean, you think of brands like Four Seasons. every guest that shows up at the Four Seasons Hotel is greeted by name. And that just makes people feel delighted that they're known. They get the VIP treatment, and it doesn't cost anything, just some simple Google research and training. You know, and surprise is always a fun element. I was just actually on a fun call last week and heard about this hotel that has been sending boxes to potential guests. And when you open the box, there's, first of all, a scent comes out, and you can actually smell the scent that you smell when you enter the hotel. And then there's these 3D glasses that you're, or I should say virtual reality glasses that you put on, and you can actually experience everything at the hotel.
Amazing.
You know, so just cool things like that really make an impression on people. And then, you know, I mentioned already evoke emotion. That is, we are emotional human beings. And there's a lot of different emotions that you may want to strike with people, but figure out how to set that tone via with, you know, storytelling or music, speakers, and then make it personal. People all want to have the most relevant experience to them. There's a lot of noise out there. So whatever you can do, and this can be virtual, you know, it can be as easy as like having a dynamic virtual event platform where you can build your own schedule, or it makes recommendations for you that makes the experience more relevant and saves you a lot of time.
Absolutely.
You know, or it's personalizing via an event app where you can meet the people that you want to meet. There's a lot of things that you can do to personalize. I remember at Google, we did something that was very lo-fi that people went bananas for. We had this app where it was called Androidify, and people could basically create their own little Android avatar themselves, you know, pick their own hair color and glasses and whatever. And then we would print them out on Swag for them. And like, people just would go bananas for that.
That's awesome.
So yeah, anything you can do to make the experience feel personalized is going to make it special, especially in this day and age when there's just a lot of competition for people's attention.
Totally. I think it's so perfectly said. And you know what? Just from a level of life as it is and how hectic it can be, we really push down our emotions. So the event professional that can bring that emotion out of you is a winner, because you know, through work, through life, you constantly are, you know, you have work to do. You can't be emotional right now. You have to push the emotions. So if you can really bring this out in a human being to where they really can kind of relate to the content on that emotional level. And even like you said, the surprise itself, I think it's making it memorable. And why is it important? Yeah.
Or transforming people, you know, along your lines of evoking emotion. And you know, I think people go to events sometimes because they want to be transformed. They want to feel different at the end.
They do.
So how can you lean in? Yeah. How can you lean into that and make it a journey for them so that they actually feel like they've learned something, or they've connected with something, or they've taken something away that's going to change their life?
Absolutely. 100% agree with you on that. I mean, you're so knowledgeable, and I feel like I can talk to you about anything and everything when it comes to events for a couple of days, but we don't have that luxury right now. So what I wanted to ask you, Gianna, can you share with our listeners some of your favorite resources? Because obviously you're a very smart young lady, but this knowledge has to come from somewhere, your own experiences, but some resources as well. Like, what are the websites, blogs, books that you would recommend to our listeners to check out to really be inspired?
Well, I love this podcast. It's amazing. Awesome. Event Icons. I mean, I learned so much from my peers, and I get so much out of the event community. I try to stay really engaged, honestly, in as many event groups, Slack channels, podcasts as I possibly can, because, you know, we learn so much from each other. It's a unique industry. So I encourage people, join as many event groups as you can. Event people love to help. Like, that's why we are in this industry. We like helping people. we like making people's lives better and we like supporting each other. So I highly recommend joining event planning groups, whether on Facebook, on LinkedIn, Slack. And, you know, there's some great event planning podcasts. I love Event iCons. I love Event Brew. I love Gather Geeks. Bizibo is a great one as well. So I definitely tune into those to hear stories from others and get some good tips. I also tune into the course creator community because I am a course creator. I love hearing from other course creators. Books, you know, I think I already recommended How to Get a Job with a New Major. So that is one that I recommend to people who are looking to make a career change or dive deep. And then obviously I have to plug my book, The Art of Event Planning.
I was just going to say that. I'm like, you're not going to stop like right now. You have to bring up your book. I will. I was going to say, I mean, I really have to reiterate just how much valuable information you shared today. I really encourage everyone who is looking to better their knowledge and really get inspired to check out your book, The Art of Event Planning, and also the course that you launched called $1 Million Event Planning Career. I dropped the link in a chat, and I will drop it in the description for everyone. Gianna is so open to communicating if anybody needs anything. You're so fast to respond to emails. It's crazy. So I'm just giving a heads up to whoever reaches out, you can expect this answer. Like, I'm going to say by the end of the day just to justify it, but it's probably going to be quicker than that. So
it's a curse. It's a curse. I am super responsive. Yeah, you can ask anyone, my husband, my nanny, my team. I'm hyper-responsive.
I think that also goes to show that that's a successful formula considering where you're at. I think people nowadays really do appreciate that. They appreciate faster communication because we're not reachable within a distance. You can't pop in your, you know, cubicle and ask somebody a question. Like, you really have to be available on those, you know, an email, call, text, or whatever. So, Gianna, it was amazing to have you on the podcast. I can't thank you enough for your time. I know you're so slammed that I really, these 40 minutes that we utilized, I think you shared such gems that I can't wait for our team to put in a text so we can share it with the, not only obviously the listeners are listening, but they will be able to listen to the episodes that are, you know, now it's pre-recorded or recorded, but also we'll be able to read. So thank you so much for being our guest. I would love to have you again at some point. So we will have to make this happen again.
Oh, Carmen, such a pleasure. And I would love that. Let's make a date.
We will put something on the calendar and we will dig into some topics, considering that we just gave out some really good tips for you know, ahead of the game for 2022. I think it would be so awesome to do some kind of a recap to where we can talk. Remember when we talked about this and everybody did it? So I think we have a game plan in.
Love it.
Awesome. Gianna, have a wonderful rest of the day. Thank you everybody for listening to this episode. Please do feel free to reach out to Gianna or even us here at hashtag event icons at Hello Endless. We are all about helping. Gianna said it first. Event planners want to help. We want to help. We want to be there for each other. It's stressful as it is. Don't be alone in it. So thank you again. And we will chat with everybody soon.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode, share your biggest takeaway, and just tag your social media posts with hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon, right here on hashtag Event Icons.